Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your power, God. We thank you for what you're busy doing in our midst, Lord. And we just honor you that you are building your church, Lord. You're building your kingdom through us. And we thank you that the gates of hell will not prevail. We thank you for every testimony, God. We thank you that, Jesus, you strip us away of ourselves so that we can be your hands and your feet, Lord. And we choose to say yes tonight, Lord, to that call. We choose to say yes to what you have for us, Lord. Abundant life. Abundant life. Abundant life. And we receive your word tonight with passion. We receive it with zeal and with a true desire to please you above all. Help us, Lord, to lay down our own comforts, to lay down our own desires, to see your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, while I was preparing for the sermon this week, a song just continued to run true in my heart. And it goes like this, and you might hear this song in the next few weeks. If you're a rugby fan, you might hear this song when you watch the Four Nations Championship or it's the Four Nations now. You might hear the song if you watch a certain team play. But it goes like this, and it just reminded me of the title of my sermon again. God of nations, at thy feet, in the bonds of love we meet. How cool is that? God of nations, at thy feet. So some of you might be recognizing it, okay? But it's the New Zealand national anthem. It starts like that. It starts with saying, God of nations. And it's just amazing to think that a little nation, almost not existing on the globe, you know, somewhere small down there in the southwest of the globe, singing the song, God of nations. Something stirred in that person's heart who wrote the song that God is truly a God of the nations. And maybe it's good that a little country realizes that they're definitely not the be-all and end-all, even though they think they are great at rugby, but they're not the only nation on the earth. God is a God of all nations. And a couple of years ago, for the first time, I watched the Olympic Games. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever watched an opening ceremony of the Olympic Games, but it's quite something. It's quite something to behold when you watch these masses of teams coming into the stadium and you see these nations listed there and you think, I've never heard of this nation. Then you see like a nation called Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan or these small nations that you've never heard of just coming into the stadium. Some massive nation, some small, some like have two people in their team, you know, and then we get all excited. And then you got the People's Republic of China with like 1,000 people in their team or whatever. But you see all these nations streaming into the stadium and it's like something amazing. And then something in your heart registers that this is like what heaven is going to be like one day. All these people, it reminds you of heaven, of all peoples and tribes and tongues and nations coming into the stadium. But then you just realize that when you read the Bible, you realize that there's maybe a different unifying factor when it comes to heaven versus the Olympics. Because the Olympics is all about me and myself and my body and my sport and how good I am. But there's still a unifying factor. There's a unifying factor bringing all these nations together to celebrate sport and to celebrate the spirit of the Olympics. But then you read the book of Revelation and you see a different unifying factor. You see something else. Revelation 5 verse 8, John is given a picture into heaven, a vision, an open vision where he sees heaven happening before him. And he reads, and he, first of all, he talks about the four living creatures and the 24 elders that are worshiping and falling at the feet of the Lamb. And then he writes here and he says, when he had taken the scroll, that's the Lamb, four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. I highlighted that there just that you can be encouraged. Our prayers are going to be heard in heaven one day. Amen. Our prayers are incense to God. We should not stop praying. We should get excited because our prayers are being taken note of. Says the prayers of the saints. You're a saint tonight. Are you a saint tonight? If anyone's not a saint tonight, then there's an opportunity for you to become a saint. But if you're a saint, your prayers do not go unheard. Your prayers are not unanswered. Heaven receives your prayers. And then it goes on to say they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. This is now the elders and the living creatures singing the song. And John is taken into this picture of heaven, and he's awe-inspired. He thinks, sure, I've never seen anything like this. And then he goes on to write in chapter 7, and you read the whole of that piece of scripture, verse 5, 6, or chapter 5, 6, and 7. In chapter 7, he talks in verse 9 about seeing this great multitude. And he says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Where are all the palm trees in the house? Palm trees must show, you know, wave the palm branches, okay? We must get some palm branches here. Let's get a bit of a taste of heaven. But there was this incredible experience in heaven, and there was crying out with a loud voice. This is now multitudes and multitudes of people. The Olympics haven't seen anything yet. This is masses, uncountable number of people. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Imagine the sound of being there. Imagine being in this place where you're experiencing heaven. And guess what, people? One day we're going to be there. This worship tonight is awesome, but this ain't nothing. Heaven is going to be awesome. We better start getting used to worship, amen? There's going to be harps and cymbals and shouting and dancing. There's going to be lots more flags waving because all nations will be represented. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people. It's just a picture of heaven. And three things that come to mind for me. Heaven is a place of worship. We're going to be worshiping forever. It's not just the church thing that we're doing now. It's like, it's a lifestyle. It's part of who we are. It's part of heaven. That's the first thing. Second thing is, heaven is all about the Lamb. He is the center of all existence. Amen. Like Colossians 1 says, that it's all about the Lamb who was slain. It's all about Him. We were created for Him and by Him and through Him, and all our lives must bring glory back to Him. It's all about Him. It's all going to come back to Him. Doesn't matter what the world says and what the unbelievers say and what the atheists say. It's all about the Lamb, the center of existence. The Lamb who was slain. And then thirdly, what's so evident in these pieces of scripture, heaven will be populated, as I said earlier, by every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. And for us in South Africa, it's so easy to get used to worshiping with people of your same culture and people of the same color and the same tribe and the same language. It's so easy because we relate to them. You know, we're used to our own people. But that's not a picture of heaven. Heaven isn't just about the Afrikaners. Heaven isn't just about the British people, you know. Let's all worship Jesus. Heaven is about every tribe, every nation, every people, every tongue. Thanks for that. You see, we had better get used to worshiping with people of different cultures. Amen. We had better get used to every tribe and every tongue. And I'm so excited. God is sending people like Bewu. I don't know if you know Bewu Castle. She comes in the morning with her husband Neil. She's from Nagaland in northern India. God is sending people from different cultures to our church, and I'm trusting that we can have a representation of a few more nations here. There's some people from Lesotho. Who was born in Lesotho? Someone, was it Mabel? Or? But I mean, God wants to send us people of different tribes and tongues and nations, that we can get a bit of a taste of what heaven is like. And maybe we won't have every nation represented in church. That's not realistic. But in our hearts are all the nations represented. Are we able to go to all the nations? And there's a window of opportunity. Matthew 24 says, unless the gospel is preached to every nation, unless there's an opportunity for every nation to receive the gospel and to hear the gospel, maybe not to believe it, but to hear it and to have an opportunity to choose, then the end will not come. And we need Jesus to come, amen. We need Jesus to come and save this earth. This earth is really in a bad state at the moment. If you read what's happening in the Middle East, we need Jesus to come back. We need to say, Maranatha, Jesus, come. But He's not going to come back because there's a window of opportunity. Some people, if you heard Sia speaking two weeks ago, of how they went there to the north of India, and there's people who've never heard the gospel, responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's some nations and tribes and tongues and people that have still not heard the gospel. And therefore, Jesus is not going to come back yet. But I know His time is short. I believe He wants to come back. And so I want this evening just to look a little bit at the history of the nations, the history of the world. Because God took me back to Genesis chapter 11, and it's so amazing when you see the hand of God just throughout the Bible. You see the Missio Dei. In theology, it's called the Missio Dei, the mission of God. It's God's mission. Amen? Heinz? Is it lekker geswat vir jaar? We did a theological module on missiology, the history of Christian mission. And the Missio Dei will continue until God's fulfilled His mission. It's His mission. It's not our mission. It's not necessarily dependent upon us. It's dependent primarily on God. But you'll see now as we get into this. It's God's mission. And from the beginning, He's been on a mission. Because as we know, sin entered and man fell and God wiped out all mankind. Although He didn't wipe out all mankind, He actually saved Noah and his family. So I guess if He'd wiped out all mankind, there would have been no more sin. But He didn't wipe all mankind out, so there was still sin. And despite the flood and everything, God cleansed the earth, but yet there was still sin abounding because people are sinful, people are born in sin. But God knew that. He wasn't shaken. And so after Noah's family started to multiply and fill the earth, then sin abounded, because here in chapter 11 it says there was one language on the earth. One language, Genesis chapter 11 verse 1. There was one language. And out of that one language, people were able to do incredible exploits. Because they started to build a tower and they started to build this monument to themselves and worship themselves. And God was like, whoa, I'm going to have to do something here. Because if I don't intervene here, the people are going to do anything. Anything is possible for a united people. And what did God do? He came to confuse the language. He came down and He said, I've got to make a plan because these people are going to exalt themselves to massive proportions. So it said in verse 8, the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. Take a note, all the earth. And they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel. Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them over the face of all the earth. See, where there's worship of anything other than God, where there's worship of self, where there's worship because of our sinful nature, there's a scattering. There's a scattering away from God. And we look at the events in the Middle East at the moment. There's an incredible scattering of people. There's Christians being scattered. There's sin abounding and Christians are being persecuted. It's terrible. Children being beheaded and women being raped and terrible events happening in the Middle East. And specifically in the country of Iraq at the moment. Because there's a worship of something else other than the real God. There's a worship of a false god. Worship of idols. And sin causes the scattering of the nations. And it actually says that God scattered them. But obviously indirectly it was sin. Because God had to scatter them because of the sin. Because of the worship of themselves. But the great news tonight is that God is not shaken by our sin. Amen. Just as we've seen in this dance, God is not shaken by the black spots on the earth. God is not shaken by the earth. And it's focus on everything else other than God. God is not shaken by that. He's got a plan. And He's busy making His plans as we speak. But throughout the world, He made His plans throughout history in Genesis 12, just after that. Isn't that amazing? When you read the word, you see God, there's like this scattering, and then suddenly Abraham comes on the scene and God says, I want to choose you, Abraham. I want to bless you. And He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Tell someone next to you, all the families of the earth. And we know Abraham had to go through a time of testing and trial and having to give up his son whom he had waited for so long. And then God said, whoa, don't kill your son. I can see that you're a righteous man. I can see you following me. You know what? In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 22:18. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God chose Abraham. By the way, Abraham's name means father of many. Chose Abraham to be the father of many. But He had to send him out. God had to scatter Abraham from His people. He had to scatter him so that He could start His gathering process. God sent him out and started to gather people back to Him. Started to cause a people formed for His name. And so throughout history we see the nation of Israel being formed for God's purposes. And the prophet Isaiah speaks here in Isaiah 49, talking about God speaking. And he says, indeed God says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant? to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. So yeah, the prophets are knowing that God has got a plan. God is sending His servant, His ultimate servant, to suffer for us, to die for us. So His plan is coming to pass. But obviously the Jews thought, oh cool, this is just for us to come back to God. And they missed it because they were supposed to take the light of God to the nations. And then He said, I'm going to send my servant to raise up not only the tribes of Jacob, not only Israel, but I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. In order to do what? To bring my salvation to the end of the earth. God sent His Son Jesus, not only to come and restore Israel, but to make one nation out of both Jews and Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? That's His plan of redemption. That's His story. Choosing for Himself a nation, but saying, listen here, this nation is only there as a tool to restore all nations to myself. This is only a tool, and my Son will come out of this nation. But it's not about the Jews only. It's about the Jews and the Gentiles. There's no more slave, no more free, no more male, no more female. There's one nation. My Son will do this. Reconciling Jews and Gentiles, reconciling people to Himself. Doing the gathering thing, doing the gathering thing. God's heart is that His salvation will reach not only Bloemfontein, not only South Africa, not only Africa, but all nations. John 3:16, for God so loved me, my family, for God so loved campus, University of the Free State, for God so loved South Africa, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, not only me and a few people I know, whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The story of God's redemption comes to this incredible climax. Isn't that amazing? When He sends His Son to die for us. When He sends His Son to bleed for us. And I was showing Matthew the other day. He wants to know about Jesus because he's watching Jesus or seeing Jesus in these storybooks. But they don't portray the full picture of the bloody mess that it was. And because some of them portray Jesus' legs like this. Some of them like this. You know, so he's like, was the nail through two legs or was it through one leg? No. He's like, he's a detailed person. Okay, it's just like his dad. It's amazing. Making disciples. Okay. So he wants to know now. He wants to see. So I thought to myself, I don't know if this was the Holy Spirit or just me now, but I just said, let me show him a piece of this Passion of the Christ. And my wife freaked out. She said, please don't show him that bloody. I said, it's the truth, okay? He must experience this. He's not going to freak. He just wants to see it more and more. So I show him these nails going through the hands and the blood like spurting out like that. I don't know what's going through his mind, but I just know this is the truth. Better he learn it now than get freaked out one day. But then you just see the nails going through his hands and the crown of thorns on his head and the blood dripping and him getting whipped. And then I just said to him, okay, this is enough. No, I'm not going to show this again. Once is enough. But he wants to know about Jesus and what, because I know this is the crux of life. This is the crux of the of life where Jesus died, bled and died for us, for the whole world. And I remember going on my first mission trip to India. Someone shared earlier about just wanting to run away, you know. When you see the mess that these nations are in, and you especially go to India and you see the masses of people and just the mess that the world is in, and specifically this nation, you just want to say, God, just drown this nation quickly that it can just come up and there's no more people, because then it'll be beautiful, you know. Because people spoil this nation a bit. The sin is spoiling this nation. Because it's terrible. The weight of sin upon this nation. And I just, after one day there, we landed and I'm like, God, please take me back to South Africa. It's so much easier there. So much more comfortable. I don't have to face this. I don't have to face this pain and the suffering and this mess. Like there's litter all over the place. There's just, it's mess and muck and you can't explain it. And that wasn't even the worst. I haven't even been to the place called Varanasi. Ask Sias about Varanasi. He always says, slecht, 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 slechter Varanasi. It's like die slechtste van die slecht, you know. It's a place where there's, apparently the Hindu, basically the religion started there and it's just a mess. There's like dogs and people and dead bodies floating in the river there, and like people want to bath themselves there because they, you know, whatever, but it's just terrible. There's stuff floating in that river that you don't want to know about. But I mean, it's just a mess and the weight of sin on the world. And then you think to yourself, this is why Jesus came. You're supposed to be on this mission now because you must bring the light. That you get faced with this and you just think, God, help me. But then after a while, at the end of the mission, you've met these incredible Christians, incredible church leaders there, incredible people that have a heart for God, and you realize there's hope for this nation. God is moving. God is touching people. People are getting saved, responding and getting healed. God is moving and God is making His plan to gather the nations throughout the world. And guess what the good news is tonight? The bad news is that sin scattered the nations. The good news is that God is gathering the nations together. But there's even better news for you tonight. Are you ready for that? God is doing an awesome thing, but guess what? Benjamin, Lisa, Nicole, Reuben, guess what? Anik, guess what? David, Annika, you, Janku, Jacobus, you guys awake at the back there. Jan, I check up here. Guess what? God wants to use us. Amen. The Missio Dei, we can be part of it or we don't have to be a part of it. And we don't have to. We'll still go to heaven one day. If we love Jesus and we confess Him, that's what the Bible says, you'll be saved. But it's not about being saved. It's not about having a nice life. It's not just about saying, I'm fine. It's about saying, God, I want to be part of Your mission. Your mission for the nations. Psalm 2 verse 8, and this is where I want you to ask God tonight, where can I start? It's not about the massive, because you know, if you think about the mountain that's ahead, it's massive. We are never going to do it. As a church, we're going to do a little bit. Even if we do awesome stuff and miracles happen and stuff, we'll still be a little part of it. We won't be exalted above any other church or any other movement. We'll just do our part. But start, yeah. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. The ends of the earth for your possession. Mark 11:17, Jesus tells His disciples, He's saying, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. In fact, He wasn't telling His disciples, He was teaching them afterwards, but He was so upset with the money changers and the robbers, as He calls them, the den of thieves. They're making His house anything else but a house of prayer for all nations. But it starts by asking, it starts by praying. As we get to know Jesus Christ and we get to know His burning heart for the nations, we get to know what His heart is and what's on His heart specifically. And this Wednesday night, I had an experience with God which just I'll never forget. We had an awesome small group meeting while some of you guys were at Encounter One and some of you guys were also at small group. It was amazing. God did something on Wednesday night which was special. Who was at Encounter One? Some people's lives were changed, even if you facilitated. But I went to small group that night and the Spirit just flowed. We started to prophesy over one another. I love small group when you put someone in the hot seat and then everyone prays and prophesies and trusts God for a word. And it was so needed for the people in the small group. And now it's my turn to sit in the hot seat and you're like, okay, God, what are you going to say now? You know, I'm like the pastor and I must pray for all the people. And I was just like, God, I want a word from You. I'm here to receive as well, God. I'm just one of Your people. I'm not special. I'm just facilitating Your Spirit, but Holy Spirit, come and do what You want to do. And so people start praying for me, and this one guy sees this vision of multitudes of people and this curtain opening or something. I don't know, but it just hit me. I started to weep. I started to cry. And I'm thinking, there's other people's wives here, and I don't want to cry in front of the girls, you know. My wife's not there, and she was having her own cell meeting. And so, but I just said, God, You're doing something. This is not natural, because I don't cry easily, but sure. Just felt this weeping. I'm like holding my face and I'm just thinking, God, You're speaking to me about the masses and people that are broken and that are lost. Then I knew God was saying to me that that's my heart for You and that's my heart for my people. To see the masses and to see it's not about numbers, it's about souls. It's about people being saved and coming to know Jesus. But then on Friday morning, I come to the intercession meeting and some of you guys were there and then we start to pray, and I just know God's heart is for the nations. That's what He's saying to us now. And when we have this missions feedback, it's not just about saying, cool, we were cool, we did cool missions. It's about God's heart. And so then we like started praying, we worship, and then we just stand there, and I'm just feeling like, Lord, I don't know what to pray now. And no one prayed anything. There was a silence. It's one of those moments where you know God is just there. He's just trying to tell us something. It's so awesome. And then we just realized, you know, we don't have a heart always to pray. We don't know how to pray for the nations. We don't know how to pray for people suffering. But tonight I heard it. Tonight it started in the intercession meeting over here. People started to identify with the pain of what's going on in Iraq. People started to pray for it. And I know God is going to do it. But God just showed me that many times in an intercession meeting, we've got our plans and our programs and our worship, but we don't always know how to identify with the pain out there, the suffering of the nations. But he says, start by asking. Start by asking. And then in Matthew 28, Tim read the scripture so well tonight. I don't think I can beat it, but I'll try. Jesus came and he said, all authority has been given to me. He says to his disciples, listen here, I'm going away, but I'm giving you all authority. I'm giving you my power. I'm giving you my fullness. Be assured of that. And with this assurance, go and make disciples. Of what? Of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Tonight we're going to be baptizing someone. Amen? Someone's excited. Yeah. In fact, we might not baptize just one person. One person knows he's going to be baptized, but maybe there's some of you tonight. You need to be a disciple. And the only way you're going to be a disciple is by being baptized. It's a life-changing experience. And we as a church are supposed to be baptizing people. That's part of our disciple making. So tonight, yes, I know it's dark and it's cold and it's, praise the Lord, it's not like -5, okay? Thank you, David's got faith, okay? He's being baptized tonight. He prayed for warm weather, okay? So 2 degrees is like warm weather, you know? It's not -10, you know? We try to organize some ice for the swimming pool there because I thought David's like, he's a man of overcoming. He's going to overcome any cold in his life. So we asked JF to turn up the ice bucket there in the swimming pool. But maybe someone needs to be baptized tonight. You need to come to know Jesus Christ tonight. It's your opportunity to be baptized because that's what we must do. We must baptize people. And once people are baptized, you know what they do? They go and baptize more people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. That's what we do as a church. We make disciples, teaching. We have Bible school. We've got foundations. We've got teaching. We've got everything that pertains to life and godliness, which Jesus gives us. And he says to his disciples, go, I've commanded you, and I'm going to be with you. I've sent you, and I'm going to be with you. Just do this. Be like Nike. Just do it. Don't make it so complicated. Jesus is saying to us tonight, we are his agents, but guess what? It's a pity that many Christians are secret agents. Hey? So many Christians are secret agents. We're not supposed to be secret agents. We're supposed to tell the world like Jacobus is preaching to the guys at Grey, you know, repent and be saved. I don't know how he said it. Draai weg en word bekeer. Het jy in Afrikaans gepraat, Jacobus? I don't know, but it's not about Bible bashing people. It's not about telling people that they're bad. It's about telling people that God loves them. But you see, many times we're undercover, and so we're the secret agents, you know, FBI, we're so undercover. And I'm not saying many times we must be sly. We must be clever. We must be wise. We mustn't, you know, lose our name out there. But sometimes we're going to lose our name. Sometimes we're going to be persecuted for our faith. But I want to say tonight that we are agents. We are God's agents for his gospel. Luke 24, he said to them, it is written that, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He's speaking himself. And he's saying there was a reason why I need to suffer. There's a reason why I need to go through this terrible stuff. He says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. There's a reason that Jesus needed to die so that the gospel can be preached. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Who must we preach this to? All nations. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I want to say tonight that the nations are in a state of sickness. Amen. There's a sick world out there, a sick world of sin, a sick world of people that are just hurt and broken and lost. They don't know their Savior. But you see, there is a pill for the sickness. One pill, it's called the gospel. The greatest pill that you can ever swallow for sickness, amen? The greatest pill that you can receive. It's actually the pearl. It's not only a pill, it's a pearl, okay? It's a pearl of great price. David, do I hear an amen there? We can laugh about it, but God wants to use us, people. He said to his disciples, wait until you shall receive power on high. And in Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You shall be witnesses to me. Where? In Jerusalem. In other words, your immediate surroundings. In Judea. The place next door in Samaria, the province of the country, just a bit further, and then to all the ends of the earth. We are supposed to be witnesses, not only on campus, not only in Bloemfontein, but in the Free State and in South Africa and to the ends of the earth. Amen. It's just great to go on a plane, to get onto a plane and to represent the nations. I remember last year when we went to Uganda, we were like wearing these Let's Go t-shirts, and everyone was like looking, and what's this? Like Matthew thought it was like a sheep or something, you know, like this white woolly thing here. And I said, no, it's the nations, representing the nations to God. Why are we doing this? Because we just love Jesus. We're going because Jesus is with us and we represent him. Because his heart's not only for your country and for that country or that country. His heart is for all the world, to the ends of the earth. I just want to show a quick video clip of two special people that we sent out at the beginning of the year. And this is meant for an encouragement to all of you. Some of you might know them, but the adult people know them mainly, Yaku and Erica Fincham. They came to our church like literally a year ago, probably April, May, June last year. And I mean, Erica was totally shy. She was like, this church is weird, like I'm freaked out. But her husband was like, you know, this is where we're meant to be and we're following God. And a year later, they get sent to Potchefstroom, and we laid hands on them and we prayed and we said, you do what God called you to do. And they are basically helping lead the Potchefstroom church plant at the moment. Faithfully serving God, setting up stuff, making church happen through the power of God. But just quickly listen to them as they chat.
Hi, Bloemfontein. How are you guys? We just want to say hello to everybody and we miss you so much. Potch is lekker. Potch is moving. God is moving. It's so awesome. And just remember what me and Alistair said when he released us from Bloemfontein. When you're ready, you're ready. You quicker ready when you quicker ready. You're faster ready than you think.
Yeah.
So just go with it. Just go with the flow of God, and that's so awesome. We miss you guys, and just enjoy. We love you.
I thought at least the Bloemfontein people would appreciate the quicker ready till you're ready, you know, like whether you're quicker ready or faster ready, you must be ready. It looks like it's all about being quicker ready, okay? All I say is they were very quicker ready. Within a few months of being here, just receiving the heart of God and then saying, God, we want to serve your purposes. We don't care about our comfort. Where we send to, we will go and we will preach your gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And God wants to do that in our lives. God wants not to wait 9 months or 12 months or another year before we start to go. God just wants to say to us, will you go tomorrow? Will you go when you leave here? Be a blessing to someone. Preach the gospel to someone. In whichever way that means. It's not about Bible bashing and, you know, telling people they're going to hell. It's about saying God loves you. God's got a purpose and he wants you to partner with him. Last scripture, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem. This happened just after Pentecost. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews. Now the Holy Spirit's been poured out. Everything's happened. The people are speaking in tongues. There's a massive fire on each person's tongue who's been filled with the Spirit. And then it says, yeah, there's devout men in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. Is that coincidence? Is that coincidence that there's every nation represented there at Pentecost? And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard him speak in his own language. Reminds me a little bit of what happened at Babel. There was a scattering there. There was one language and there was a scattering and there was confusion. What happens in the book of Acts? Every nation represented. God is starting to gather again. Gather His people. Pouring out His Spirit and saying, you know what, in the last days, all men will be able to receive My Spirit. And that's why tongues is so a blessing, because tongues enables people to speak in a language where they don't even understand in the natural, and these other people are hearing their languages. I think God is trying to say something here. He's trying to say He's going to gather them back again into one language. The language of the Spirit. A language where everyone understands, not in the natural, but in the Spirit, what God is doing. So tonight, I want to encourage all of you. Start by praying. Start by asking for the nation. Start by looking at a globe. Take one of these. Get a globe. Put it on your desk or wherever you study, and remember the nations. Every morning when you wake up. Every day when you go. Remember the nations. Start to pray for Iraq. Start to pray for the persecuted country. Start to pray for the people in Europe that haven't got a clue. They're so lost. There's no gospel anymore. Churches are closing down. There's no presence of God, and God, but God is there by His Spirit. God wants to send us where there's no gospel anymore, where there's no life-giving church. Maybe He wants to send us to start a church in some place where there's no church, where a nation has grown cold. God's heart is for the nations, and He wants everyone to know His love for Him. And I want to say tonight that despite sin, despite the scattering that's happened, God is busy gathering. The Missio Dei is continuing as we speak. Tonight we can be a part of it. Tonight we can be part of God's mission. As He gathers His people, He's inviting us. He wants to show us His heart in order that we can be His hands and feet. Let's all close our eyes. Father, tonight we want to thank You. We want to thank You for Your heart for the nations, Lord. We want to thank You tonight that You are busy gathering, Lord. The Missio Dei is continuing. And today tonight we can be a part of it. We can say yes to being Your agents, Lord. No longer Your secret agents, God. No longer Your secret agents, but Lord, Your bold agents. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You're here tonight to just remind us again of Your heart. Your vision is so much greater than just our little world. Lord, we say sorry tonight. We say sorry that we have become so focused just on ourselves, Lord, just on our little world, God, and the things that fall apart and make our world so small. Thank You for Your heart for the nations. Thank You for Your heart for so many people, God. But it starts here in Bloemfontein, Lord. It starts with our next door neighbors, our classmates. It starts, Lord, on this campus and in the city. And it continues throughout this nation and the nations of the world. But I want to thank You tonight for Your heart for us. For Your heart for each one of us this evening. I pray, Lord, that You would move right now in every heart tonight. Give us Your heart first, God. Before we do stuff, before we go, give us Your heart that You love us so much. Because I sense in this place tonight, Lord, so many people have not had an encounter with You. That You can download Your heart into their hearts.